Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Welcome to the Mosh Pit. It's your host, Wes Everett.
And AJ Green.
And we're here with the Silencing Machine. Mm-hmm. How are you guys?
Doing all right. How you doing?
Good. So, go ahead and give our listeners a taste of who we've got on.
My name's Danae. I'm the singer.
I'm Jeremiah. I'm the bassist and other vocalist.
I'm Max. I'm guitar.
Programs.
Songwriting.
Other things.
Next. I'm Micah.
Skin Man.
I play drums. New.
Well, you've been here about a year now, so.
Oh, yeah. Still feels pretty new to me.
That's awesome. So what have you guys been up to last 2020, 2019? You know, pandemic, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic.
Well, the thing about when the pandemic hit is we had a whole string of shows lined up. Like, the last show we played was in March of 2020.
At Maywood.
At the Maywood in Raleigh, which is no longer there. They had to close down because of the pandemic. And we had shows booked out through July.
I was working on August at the time.
We're about to have shows booked all the way through August, and then the carpet got pulled out from under us, and we were like,
whoops.
So here in North Carolina, we had a stay-at-home order where we literally couldn't leave the house for...
It was about 3 months?
About two or three months. And you leave me alone with a guitar and a computer for any amount of time. And I admit that I have a problem. I will just write and write and write and write and write. And we kind of skim through all of those songs that I wrote in that time. We picked two of them and then wrote one more, and that became our Play Gear EP that we just released. So we used the time as wisely as we could, I guess.
I mean, what else were we going to do? And then in the middle of the pandemic, we got a drummer because we didn't have a drummer before. It was just three piece, just Danae, Max, and I. And then Micah popped up on our Instagram as a fan, and I was like, hey, you play drums? He was like, yeah. I said, you like our band? He's like, yeah. I said, come jam. He said, okay. And then 2 weeks later, he's in the band.
Yeah. Nice. Efficient to the point, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of known for that. I don't beat around the bush.
I mean, that's not a bad way to be, especially if you're in this business, in this industry. You kind of have to be in people's faces to be like, hey, look at me, because there's like so many other bands and everything that you kind of have to stand out in some sort of way.
I reckon that's true, but you know, standing out was never a huge issue for, well, let me back up. At first it was a problem, then it wasn't. So since we have all of these things and none of them at the same time, you know, we have post-punk and some pop punk from Danae's side, and we have like power metal and death metal and stuff like that from me and Max, and then that prog metal a lot from me, a little bit of industrial, and then Micah's almost entirely like jazz, blues, jangle and clang, you know, that kind of rock and roll, but he can play anything. Mm-hmm. And we also have, Max and I also used to play jazz when we were younger. And so we have all of these things together, and so we can fit on a bill with like thrash metal bands, death metal bands, black metal bands, whatever. But a lot of guys here, promoters here in Charlotte, wouldn't book us because we weren't just black metal or just death metal. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll book our own shows. And so it was slow going for a while. And then people are like, hey, that's different.
And I hate to say this, one of the reasons that we're different, because there are a lot of great bands in the Charlotte area. There really are. But one thing that they all have in common is they have like deep roots in stuff like Pantera and
COC
stuff. And I don't dislike Pantera, but I've never been a huge fan.
I actually really dislike Pantera.
And so that's not a vocabulary that ever got into my songwriting. You know, my songwriting vocabulary when it comes to what I write starts with, you know, all the way back with Black Sabbath, but, you know, goes up through, you know, the modern metal that's coming out of Europe. But there's probably a handful of American metal bands that I like. Most of my taste is from across the pond. And so that's one thing it's good in that it makes us stand out, but it's also, it makes it difficult for us because we don't have that common thread that a lot of the bands around here have.
And I come from like Pink Floyd. I love playing Pink Floyd, Alice in Chains, Nine Inch Nails. So I love sounds. If you've heard our music, you probably heard a lot of the weird kind of artifact sounds. Yeah, that's me on bass. Mm-hmm. I run, yeah, that's a bass. The other sound that sounds like a third guitar is actually a bass going through two amps, but one has effects and one doesn't.
Oh.
And wow. How does one find out that an amp will do this?
Well, I'm a sound engineer.
There you go.
And also, it was years and years of just messing around and seeing, what does this
button do? So, I run several different dirt boxes. I have a compressor. I have a crossover that splits my frequency. So, I only have a high frequency processed through distortion and clean and low frequency not processed. And then I have another pedal that's full spectrum. So I do all of this different kinds of stacking. And then my EQs, the center points of all my EQs are set octaves apart to sit with Max's amps. So all of our amps are actually tuned within an octave in each band, through each amp, through each pedal from the ground up. And that's how we get all of that sound.
That's pretty cool. That's actually really cool.
It's like it's almost like you have to like just kind of play around with your craft and be like, oh, I guess that's how that works.
Kinda.
And it's also a lot of trial and error. There have been a lot of times where he's like, let me try this. I know it's gonna work. I'm like, dude, that's not gonna work. Let me try it. It's gonna work. Dude, it's not gonna work. And then he tries it and doesn't work.
And it doesn't work.
And then there are the times where we go through that same thing and he'll try it and I'm like, well, son of a bitch.
One of my favorite pedals is this pedal called a Data Corrector. So it's from Earthquaker Devices. And so
I think we're overbearing the conversation a little bit.
And it does a lot of weird stuff. And when I first got it, Max was like, that's not going to fit. And then I did it and he was like, okay, that really fits. I like that a lot. That's where all those weird, zappy, angry television sounds come from. Comes from that.
Nice.
What about you guys?
Like, what are my influences and stuff like that? Can they hear me from this point?
Yes, we can.
Yeah,
mine's pretty good.
My influences are pretty random, to be honest with you. I draw from a lot of things, pretty much. Anything from, like, outside beauty, like nature and stuff, or just somebody telling me a story, something simple as that, you know.
Who are your favorite drummers?
Well, my favorite drummers are probably pretty much the most generic ones. Matt Griner, Matt Garska, who's one guy? Thomas Pridgen, of course. Just so many. I mean, I could go on and on, but but pretty much everything I draw inspiration from, you know, try to incorporate that into my playing.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
How about you?
So, do you guys want like influences, like of bands or singers?
Anything, whatever that you draw from to bring in your sound.
I think when it comes to genres, I think I draw a lot from like post-hardcore, Beartooth, Asking Alexandria. I think bands like that. Sometimes even like punk bands like Against Me or like Bring Me the Horizon. Just any bands or singers that have like that attitude. Like any, especially Ollie Sykes. Like anytime he sings lyrics, they always have like that attitude to it. Like I want you to feel what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like whether I'm mad at something or upset, and I just because when I saw him live at Warped Tour. Like the whole crowd, it was like a whole crowd in front of him and I could feel his energy like from miles away. And I was just like, wow, that's what I want people to feel like when I'm on stage, you know?
I kind of hear a little bit of Motown in you occasionally too. Like, kind of, you know, like some old school, like, you know, I want to say necessarily Aretha Franklin, but like that type of vocal approach on occasion. Like,
yeah, I don't mean to do that. I just sound like that.
Well, you know, I was going to say like, I get a very big Evanescence vibe sometimes from you. Like, we get the melodic voice and then we get the heavy metal and it's like it's very refreshing because you don't get that very often, which is why I kind of fell in love with the band.
we've heard that before. We've heard Within Temptation, we've heard Nightwish. We get a lot of those types of
we get Lacuna Coil.
We get that sometimes. We've heard In This Moment, some people kind of say In This Moment a little bit.
Yeah.
We've heard that a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of all over the place. Well, it depends on what show we're playing, what set we're playing. We have like four different sets. So one set might be ultra heavy, and the other set might be not as heavy. So it kind of depends on what set you catch us with.
That's pretty cool. So you said you come from like a jazz background.
Mm-hmm.
How is that like bringing that from the jazz influences into metal?
Well, for me, it's not something that I do consciously. Mm-hmm. It's just, I was in the jazz band in high school, and then for my first few years of college, I was in, I studied jazz history, and I was in the jazz improvisation class and all that stuff. And it's not so much something, like I said, it's not something that I consciously go in there thinking about. It's just because it's so, you know, because I studied it the way I did, it's something that just kind of, whether I'm intending for it to come out or not, it'll just, you know, there'll be some phrases that are kind of jazz influenced, or like one thing that jazz really harps on is when you're improvising, you're not just playing random notes in this in whatever key that you're in, you're improvising around the chord that's being played at that time. Mm-hmm. And so like in the song Vicious, during the chorus, there's that melodic run the second time through. Mm-hmm. And that just came about with, I was playing around with, you know, it wasn't ever meant to be a solo, but just playing around with the idea of a melody that's not what's being sung, that plays through the chords in that chorus. And that's where that melodic line came from. And I ended up kicking myself because it took me like a month and a half to actually get to the point where I could consistently play that line.
For me, so Max taught me how to play. We've been together for 23 years. And yeah.
Almost.
So how I play is deeply influenced by how he plays. And I came to him saying, I want to make these sounds and do this. And so help me. And so,
and in some cases I didn't know how to help him. So I just kind of said, well, here's what I know.
Yeah. And it was helpful. So, you know, being autistic, learning can be challenging in certain ways. And so I can't read music very well. I know how to read it, but I'm very slow at it. But I can write in context. If you say, we're writing the song, this is this key, it's this fast, don't mess up. Okay. You know, I have the tones memorized. So I might not have the note names memorized necessarily, but I know the sound of that pitch and where it fits and why it fits there and all that stuff. And so I always lean on what Max taught me when we were kids. And so a lot of the bass leads that you hear is just me playing jazz, playing around the chord with just a lot of distortion and whatever other interesting effects I can put on it.
That is cool. So on your bio, it said that you had an EP release scheduled for 2020. Did the pandemic change your scheduling? Did it not? Is there anything you want to like plug?
Well, that EP was, the idea for that release was because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. That was the Plague Year EP that we just released.
Came out on the 31st of December.
31st of December.
Yeah.
And what was the feedback from the Plague Year?
It's been strong so far. We're getting a lot of plays. One of our top songs on it, or our two top songs from that, is one song called May 25th, which we wrote about George Floyd. And then our second one was Strange Fruit, which is a Billie Holiday cover.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really surprised about that, because we were like, either people are going to hate us for this, or they're not going to know what to think, or they're going to love it. And people seem to really like it. We did not change the song at all. It's same jazz chords. Yep. Exactly the same, it's just ultra heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
A powerhouse, and it's pumping out the rhythm for the power and the madness of my lyrics as I spit them. A camera's on to sadness and a camera's on to joy. Multi-talented, feel the madness, I'll sit back, relax, enjoy. Been loving that I'm making all these songs to clear my head. Even though I feel depressed and I might be better off dead. These words are just my demons trying to break their way out. So listen to the chorus to know what it's all about, yeah. Hey.
head down, hopes high, that's the way I live my life. I got a lot to say, you just won't be surprised. Lose control now. I'm feeling so energized. I'm out to war zone, a spherical lyrical headquarters. If you battle with me, you're swimming in dangerous waters. I wanna be the one who's looking down at you from the top. And now you got me going, I'm gonna be hard to stop. I'm rocking to the rhythm and I'm bopping to the beat. Can you feel the floor shaking beneath your feet? Your body will be aching if you party with me. So feel this groundbreaking lyrical decree. It's a one, a two, the three, two, the four. By the red that's in your face, you can't take anymore. Feel the bass booming in your face till you hit the floor. In a race showing you my pace, showing you the door, yeah. Head down, home's high, that's the way I live my life. Got a lot to say, you just won't be surprised. Lose control now. I'm feeling so energized. I'm ready to take a stand in this life because it's my turn. With the left and a right, I'll make your ears burn. It's about to my strike back, pick up the slack. I'm not a fake, I'm not a hack, I'm just launching my attack, yeah. That's the way I live my life. I got a lot to say, you just won't be surprised. Lose control now. I'm feeling so energized. Head down, home side, that's the way I live my life. I got a lot to say, you just won't be surprised. Lose control now. I'm feeling so energized.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a good cover of it. We actually checked the full album out before we started this interview today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we get and I think it was killer. I think the whole album front to back just great.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I had a lot of fun listening to it. Like I said, it kind of brought back my loner teenage years of, you know, going into a hole with Evanescence and just kind of like, so it kind of was a little nostalgic, but new at the same time. It was kind of cool.
We've heard that a lot. A lot of people described us as familiar, but very different.
Exactly. It does. And it's weird to find a band that does that the first time you hear them. You're like, I love this because it's very familiar, but I love it also because it's completely different than what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, kudos to you guys for, like, kind of bringing that back.
Well, thanks. It just kind of happens. You know, all of us are misfits in some way, and that's kind of – so that's why Danae wrote that song, Losers Club. You know, it's sort of representational of the – experience of the other,
mm-hmm.
and identifying with that, you know, whether you grew up like me, being the weird kid that, you know, was autistic and never fit in because, you know, I had to go to special classes and all that, or being, you know, Micah or Danae, you know, the black girl that likes metal. I mean, that's weird in her case, or, you know, in Micah's case. Black guy that likes metal, they're like, you know, that's just a whole another set of difficulties they have in that community. You know, it gets weird. Like they'll question, you know, are you black enough? Because you listen to white people music, and it's just like this whole thing. And it's hard. It can be really hard for them in that because the context is so separate.
No.
And so her whole idea was that with that song was to pretty much.
Why don't you
let
her tell her what the idea was?
Well, she can.
Well, Max came to us. He came to me with the instrumental, I believe, and mm-hmm. then I had put words to it because usually when he comes to me with songs, and I can automatically feel if I know I can write something to it, like I get a feeling from it, and then I just knew that I wanted to write the Losers Club to that. First off, like the Losers Club, I'm a big fan of My Chemical Romance, and so I kind of like to put some of that into the music. I don't mean to, but it comes out. And so it reminded me of that. It was
Helena all over again.
Yeah. Or Welcome to the Black Parade. So it's like all of you who are different and you feel like you don't fit in, well, welcome to our club, because that's who we are. That's what we represent. So you're not alone, basically.
Right, 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 right. It's like being a female in the heavy metal scene is kind of just being female in general, white, black, yellow, green. It doesn't matter. It's not a very feminine thing. And if you like that, then you're automatically labeled as something. And it kind of sucks. You know, it's like, please don't look at me for that. Look at me because I've got good taste in music, or, you know, and I totally, relate to you in that way, even though I can't sing. But I relate to you in that way because it's really refreshing to see a woman front person in a metal band. It's like, that took a lot of balls.
Well, when she came to us, Max and I had been languishing for 2 years, 2.5 years.
And we had had something going that was more of an industrial thing. Mm-hmm. And then both people kind of flaked out. Both other people that we were working with kind of flaked out within weeks of each other.
They did flake out.
Well, they did.
There was no kinda. There was no kinda.
And it was literally within weeks of each other. They flaked out. And so we were like,
whoa. And so for another like 6 months, or maybe even longer than that, we were looking. And of all places, Craigslist. I was just like, one day, I was looking, me and Max were sitting down in my basement where our studio is. And I stared at him. I was like, all right, Max, just for shits and giggles, we're going to open up Craigslist and just see what we find. We open up and we see this picture of this girl with blue hair. And I'm like, well, she's hot. Let's message her.
And I slapped him.
It says she can sing, so let's see what's up. And so we message her, and then she messages back, and then I send her some music. And then she comes back a week later, and the lyrics for In the Wake of Vultures are the same lyrics she wrote for her audition. The lyrics for Divided We Fall,
which has not been released yet.
Which has not been released yet, were also the same lyrics she tried out with. She came in, she was like, so can you play it? And me and Max were like, well, do you want to hear it? She said, no, I got it. Just go. And we were like, okay. And so we did it. And I'm telling you, man, it was like she had been with us the whole time. And me and Max, we just kind of stopped. We didn't even finish the song. We just kind of stopped. She was like, why'd you stop? We were just like, we don't need to hear anymore.
And funny story, she doesn't remember, but I remember this vividly. And it in my mind, this is kind of the definition of serendipity. So a year before we had reached out to her and asked her to audition, she had reached out to us. And like, my family goes to the beach every year, and she reached out to us literally a week before we went to the beach, before my family went to the beach. And, you know, we had been going back and forth. She had sent me some of the stuff she had written. I'd sent her some of the stuff I had written. And we had kept on trying to plan for her to come down and audition, but the dates just kept on not lining up. And so eventually I got to the point where I'm like, she's not going to think we're interested. So I let it drop. And then a year later, we reach out to her and I'm like, hold on a second.
And I know you.
And it was confirmed by, I guess it was probably a year ago, you brought some songs that you wanted us to work on. And they were the songs that you had emailed me the year before.
I do have those emails now that I look back. Because I'm telling you, I was searching for a band since I was in middle school. And I have went through so many auditions, so many startup bands, and I've gotten so many no's. And you have no idea. Like, I was in college in Salisbury studying music, and I was also looking for bands. That's when I messaged you guys. I was looking for bands for so long, and I could not, they just never worked out.
And you know, I was unsure how it would work out at first, like when she auditioned, not because of her lack of talent, because that's not the case. I was just like, well, you know, will she like it heavy? I mean, like, we get pretty brutal. Like, will she be able to respond musically to the like ultra brutal scream stuff and all that? And well, it's been 3 years, so the answer to that is yes.
and also, I feel like we have a bit of a leg up on that, because as heavy as we are, one of my biggest influences as a songwriter is actually the Beatles. And they wrote some very great and out there music, even though when they wrote, they stuck very strictly to kind of the standard pop structure when they were writing. And so I try to do the same thing. I try to be heavy, be aggressive, but try to...
Not at the expense of the song's integrity.
Yeah, not at the expense of, you know, being so out there that people listen to it and go, what's going on? You know? If you can give them a hook, something to grab onto, it gives you license to push the envelope a little bit.
And that's why I can be so weird and far out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Danae might do some keyboards. She also plays piano. She's an excellent pianist. So sometimes she'll lay down some chords, even if it's just while we're writing, to hold me down while I figure out what I'm doing. And then I get that set up, and she's like, okay, let's go. And then we'll write it, and then we go, and then we do it, and then it comes out however it comes out.
Well, it's nice to hear that melting pot, and then also remember, like, for someone like me, I like metal and rock, but I'm not the person that really just goes out for the super heavy all the way through, no beginning, no end, just heavy, heavy, heavy screaming all the time. I'm the person that looks for heavy, give, a little take, a little give, a little take, a hook, and then that melodic sound, that harmony of the voice with the music. That's what I look for in my rock and roll songs. So it's like I said, it was like very refreshing to hear your songs.
That's kind of what she described her ideal song structure to be, mm-hmm. in general, you know. And we're working on some newer stuff where she and I trade a bit more. But it really just depends on what I'm playing. Sometimes she's come to me, sometimes she's like, you can do vocals of this? I'm like, no, I just want to play. I really like this music. I just play. And so...
Or in some cases, he's like, no, I can't sing and play this part at the same time.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. Like you got to choose. Either you want this bass lead or you want this vocal spot, all right? These ain't going to happen at the same time. Sometimes it's hard.
Falling, 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 oh, you know, falling, falling, falling. but you'll never be satisfied when all you do is take, take, take. You'll never live justified when all you do is take, take.
So, getting back to promoting and booking yourself, where are some of the places that you're looking at trying to get into as far as shows, venues?
So, I do all the booking. I do all the management. So, we're looking at, we want to get Blind Tiger. We're trying to get into that, which is in Greensboro. We'd like to get into the Radio Room, which is in Greenville, South Carolina. And there's some cool spots up toward Richmond. Virginia, and there's some, and then Atlanta has some, lots of spots. Our ability to travel long distances is currently a little bit limited in term, in so much as that, you know, we don't have a lot of income,
right?
Of course, you know, from having not played a lot, so you know the whole idea of doing a tour is not viable currently.
And also 10 months out of the year, my availability is kind of limited because I work for the school system. So that getting up and traveling, you know, during those months can be difficult.
Yeah. I'm the only full-time artist in the whole band. So all I do is painting, drawing, or writing music. That's it. That's all I do. That's what I do.
Awesome.
So I'm a comic book artist, a portrait artist, just an artist in general.
Oh, that's cool. That's
so
cool.
That's all I do. So I have a lot more flexibility than they do. I can pick up and go if I need to.
I got you.
But so yeah, we like to go to those places. We'd like to go. There's Myrtle Beach has some interesting metal spots, but we haven't made it quite that far yet. Charleston has some interesting metal spots. We'd like to eventually get to the point where we can hit maybe three states, you know, for like a three-state tour, and then grow from that. Like, so do three states and then maybe add a fourth state the next cycle, then maybe add a fifth and then so forth, and just do it incrementally as, yeah. We, you know, as our listenership grew, so then could our tour radius.
On the other hand, if we got hooked up with some sort of European label and they said, hey, do you want to play Vakken this year? I'd be like, let's do it.
Yeah. I mean,
I need this time off.
So if we got involved with a place that had the wherewithal to support us from a business perspective, that would open up a lot of opportunities for us as far as where we could play, how often we could play, and those types of things. So I suppose it's subject to change based on our circumstances.
Right.
So you say you're the artist of the group.
Yes.
Did you do the Plague Doctor cover art?
Yes.
That is
all the illustrations, my work.
Have to tell you, that is like, that was, I drew me in. I'm like super obsessed with that. It turned out gorgeous.
Well, thank you. We're going to be making posters and shirts of that soon.
Nice. Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I did the hands for Believe. And then I've got a zombie vulture that I'm a little bit behind on that's for In the Wake of Vultures. And it's this figure of a vulture coming to you with a heart in its beak and is eating it.
That's awesome. Cool. That's really cool.
Can't wait to check that one out.
More difficult than I had intended. thought it was going to be. Vertebrae are really difficult in foreshortening, let me tell you.
I was actually getting a little angry with him because it was getting to time to release in the wake of Vultures, and I'm like, have you finished the art yet? He's like, no. I'm like, I have to upload it in like 7 days. Are you going to have it finished in 7 days? He's like, no.
He's like, why not? I said this. He goes, oh. Carry on.
I was still upset, but I understood.
Yeah.
Right. What?
You
go ahead. Go ahead.
Adam?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, now that we know your other hobby, what are some of the other guys' extra hobbies that you like to do outside of music or the band?
Well, we'll let the people who haven't done a whole lot of talking yet.
I like to do figure skating. I like to keep tarantulas.
She's a creepy girl.
I know.
horror movies.
Oh yeah, I do like horror movies. I like It, and I think Child's Play is my favorite one of all time.
But, yeah. Hey, listen. The other day, he made me watch a movie called Zombievers.
I've seen that movie. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Oh, okay.
Well, but you see, I like horror movies too. But my favorite genre, like I think that horror movies stopped being really good in like the early 90s.
What about you,
Micah? Oh, I agree with Max about the movies in the early 90s and stuff.
What do you like to do?
Well, I like to watch those really old school horror movies and like black and white. Those mm-hmm. are
like Living Dead stuff?
Yeah. Pretty corny stuff, but you know, it's a classic. Well, come on.
Those are the best ones. I mean.
I know. Like, what was the other one? Attack of the Killer Tomato?
I'm the only one that hates horror movies. I don't like horror movies at all. Yeah. I've never seen any horror movies before.
I love modern horror movies. Oh, I just want to say that. Yeah. I like the older ones.
Yeah. All three of them go to a horror movie, and I'm like, nah. Yeah.
Just taking a nap, you know. I love me some naps.
Favorite hobby, napping.
That is my favorite.
The nap master.
Now you said you're a Child's Play fan. Have you seen the new one?
Yes, and I actually do like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it because it's different, but in a really modern, cool way. So yeah. The old one, there's also the new one. They're both good in their own way. So
yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm not doing art or music. For work, I read comic books, or collect action figures. I got like 4,000 comic books, I think, and like 300 or 400 action figures so far. Still counting. I'm doing a lot of Batman, McFarlane's action figures right now.
Really are we talking Marvel? Are we talking Star Wars? Are we talking all Marvel the above? And
Marvel and DC primarily. I do like a lot of independent stuff too, but with the comic books that I write and create on my own, they're all like 1940s style detective. Normal crime noir stuff,
yeah,
or it's cyberpunk, like Blade Runner kind of stuff.
Yeah, very cool.
I do like some superhero stuff, but I'm mostly really into very psychological, heavy philosophical type of thing. Nature of justice, things like that.
Yeah. So, are you guys board gamers at all?
I can be.
It depends on the board game.
Yeah.
Sometimes. For me. Sometimes.
I got all the board games in my house. I got the Charlotte Monopoly. I got Sorry. I got
there's a Charlotte Monopoly?
Yeah. There's like Noda area. There's like
I don't know, but I don't know if people care about Charlotte enough for it to be a Monopoly game.
It's produced by a local company licensed from Monopoly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you're into horror movies. Have you heard of Mysterium? The board game Mysterium.
I've heard of it.
So like you play as like the main player is dead, and you have to figure out how they died.
So it's kind of like reverse Clue.
Yes, basically. And it's a board game. It is so freaking cool.
Yeah, because we've got a whole shelf of awesome board games
right there.
just out of frame actually. So if you guys are in the Atlanta area,
please come
after a show.
I love it, yeah.
Well, look for Mysterium.
Yeah, I do enjoy board games. My wife is a pretty hardcore video gamer, and I enjoy video games. I'm not quite as hardcore into it as she is, but I do enjoy occasionally playing some video games with my wife. And you know, so that's what's sad about me is my hobby outside of music is music. Like, I drive them crazy because what I'll do is I'll go online and I'll try to find like just isolated vocal performances of like pop songs, mm-hmm. and then write music around them.
What's the last
that's cool.
You remember the last one you did?
I did Criminal by Miley Cyrus was the last one I did.
Yeah, you did The Weeknd last.
I did The Weeknd.
That was actually really good. I was very surprised at that instrumentation.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I do that because A, I feel like it's like one of the things that draws me to I'm drawing a parallel here. This is how my brain works. It's not gonna sound like it's on topic, but it actually is. One of the things I like about video games or games in general is the problem solving aspect of it, the puzzle solving aspect. And so I think when I do that with music, it's like when I have the isolated vocals and I'm writing music around it, it's the same kind of thing. It's solving a puzzle. It's taking it and reimagining it in a way that people are like, I would not have thought that for this song, and it really works. So now once I do those songs, I have no idea what to do with them because, you know, I can't publish them and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just...
Occasionally we'll jam on them in practice sometimes. We don't have a lot to do. We'll mess with them just for exercise.
Have you guys ever looked into, like, submitting your music to a video game? Like, you know, for a station on Grand Theft Auto
any of those... I am currently researching and studying syncing, which is what that's part of, where you sync your licenses to video games, movie placement, show play, you know, and all that. In order, before that can happen, I need to finish all of our ASCAP and ASA and CSAC registration.
Yeah.
But once that's done and I have a better understanding of how that works, that is definitely on my list.
Very cool.
It's a little winding, you know, there's no direct answer in this business. You know, you have to get your income from five different places.
Yep.
But one of the most reliable is syncing, if you can get sync licensing done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just getting there. There's a lot of little steps to get to that point.
But
we're getting there.
Very cool, man, and good luck on that. You said you're on ASCAP. Are you on BMI at all, or
not yet? We're still getting all that sorted out. It's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
So yeah.
We got to get our LLC set up because you have to have an LLC registered for that, and it's expensive in our state. And then so there's that, and then there's the cost of the actual licensing, and then I have to go and look at the European licensing because it's not the same.
Yep.
And then I have to get that situated, and it's
which is another thing that would be beneficial to if we found a label, because labels will do that stuff for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right now we're on our own, so we have to figure out how to do it on our own.
Yeah. If I could find a label that would meet me halfway with the business stuff and not take my master's, then we would be talking business real fast.
Nice.
That's my ideal partner, is someone that would promote us and do the things we cannot do for ourselves, and essentially leave me alone to manage the band and do what I need to do for us, because I've been doing it for so long.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Don't come in, stick your nose in where you don't know what we're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just front me the money and let us play.
Right. And you know, but be there if I need help. Yes. And all that. Yeah. But, you know, don't come in and tell my people how to do their job. You know,
exactly.
You know, if they didn't know how to do it, we wouldn't have gotten to where we've gotten to.
Truth. Truth. Absolute truth.
You know, yeah. I'm really territorial about that. I don't like other people managing my people but me, because they don't know my people.
Mm-hmm. I know that feeling. I think we just had that discussion.
So, in the upcoming months, in the upcoming year, do you have anything big planned? Do you guys have maybe a comeback? What is I guess what I'm asking is North Carolina planning kind of a opening, like, you know, let's test the waters and see about, like, opening up and allowing you to,
Yeah, they just recently passed an executive order where clubs and music venues are now open to 50% capacity. Mm-hmm. Restaurants and things like that are now at pretty much full capacity.
And we got a show the 23rd of this month. We got another show on May 8th at this place called Skylark. It's been a while since we've been there. And then we've got another one in Taylorsville. It's a streaming show on June 9th. Then we have another one on June 24th. And I am currently working on booking out the rest of the year. We're also recording a full-length record.
We don't know exactly when it's going to be out yet, but we're...
Production is underway.
Yes.
Nice.
Cool. Well, guys, appreciate y'all sitting down on this interview with us.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Oh,